both gone for more tasks in some areas, especially where I can do things like batch processing, and then getting less granular in other areas because it can end up being a little bit overwhelming opening a project and going, oh my God, there's 200 items here. That's kind of the point where you just close OmniFocus and you go like, I'm just going to go eat some chocolate, right?
And today we have Rosemary Orchard sharing how she uses OmniFocus. Well, hello and welcome everybody to this episode of The Omni Show. My name is Andrew J. Mason, and today we are thrilled to be able to have Rosemary Orchard with us as the co-host of iOS Today and author of Build Your OmniFocus Workflow and Take Control of Shortcuts. Rose is a go-to voice in the productivity space and a good friend of the Omni Group. Thank you so much for joining us, Rosemary.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a while since I've been on the show, but I'm really glad to be back.
It's fantastic to have you. And yeah, 2019, that's quite a bit of time for a catch-up. You've been busy, I must say. You've been busy. Do you mind catching everybody up to what you've been up to in the last couple of years as things have gone on?
Yeah. So not that long after I was on the show, actually, there was a whole global pandemic thing, which, you know, was a bit of a drag, caused a couple of health problems, all of those things. I decided that was the perfect time to move country because, of course, what else are you going to do in a pandemic other than move country? Because that's not complicated. So I had, I have more than one OmniFocus project for this. I did use OmniPlan and OmniOutliner for chunks of it as well. I've moved country. I ended up moving jobs as well. I got an ADHD diagnosis. I bought a house. I've done loads of things. I've also founded a small indie app development business making like little shortcuts utility apps, which is kind of fun as well. So yeah, I've been doing a whole bunch of things, but still being productive and still using OmniFocus a lot.
I must say, to take 7 years and kind of throw it into a concise three sentence pair, like you really have kind of brought that down and distilled it into its essence, which is awesome. Tell us more about the indie app development software company that you've got going there. That's awesome.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, it turned out that, you know, aside from moving house, there wasn't a whole bunch of things going on to use my free time with. So I ended up meeting some friends on the internet and we started a company together building, you know, little bits of software. And then unfortunately, a friend of mine, Alex Hay, passed away. He created several shortcuts applications. But when that happened, we did reach out to his parents and we said, hey, there were a bunch of people that really love these. Would you like us to take these over? And so now we also get to maintain those and keep his spirit going as well, which is really nice. So we've got things like Toolbox Pro and Automate for the people who want a little bit extra for shortcuts, or like Notion support, which I know a lot of people really love to use Notion as part of their task management system and their personal wikis. And so it's really cool to have that.
I love the idea that you're able to provide this kind of customization for people to be able to say, okay, how is your workflow progressing and what would the best of that world look like if we were able to kind of just connect things together in a way that makes sense for you. That's fabulous. I think that's really cool. Talk to me about your OmniFocus system as well. How has that evolved, developed over the years? We have a new release version of OmniFocus, OmniFocus 4, but as well as just your personal, you mentioned a lot of projects there at the very beginning, how your overall management of that has shifted in time as well.
Yeah. So one of the things that I found over the last few years in particular is I've both gone for more tasks in some areas, especially where I can do things like batch processing and then getting less granular in other areas because it can end up being a little bit overwhelming opening a project and going, oh my God, there's 200 items here. That's kind of the point where you just close OmniFocus and you go like, I'm just going to go eat some chocolate, right?
Don't want to look at that anymore. It's gone. Yeah.
Exactly. So for things where I can do like batch processing of things, like for example, if I am going to return something that I bought off Amazon, then like one of those things would be packaging up parcels and things like that. So I've found that, you know, because that also ties in, I've been, you know, reselling some clothing on Vinted and all of those things, like packaging up parcels, that's a thing I can batch process. I probably should batch process it. So adding more tasks for things like that has been really helpful because then I can be like, right, I have the tape, I have the scissors, I have the boxes or the paper or the envelopes, like all three of these are in the right place at the right time. The tape and scissors haven't escaped somewhere yet. Let's package these things up and just go through and, you know, find anything that I wanted to package up, like, you know, and then going to the post office. Well, guess what? Posting my grandmother's birthday cards to her also comes in there as well when, you know, I'm doing the other things. So I found that the tags have actually allowed me to add more tasks in a way that makes it not overwhelming, in particular combined with adding more perspectives for certain things where I know I can just open a tag view or something, but I found that actually giving it a specific name and being like, no, this perspective is this, and then it batches it by tag and so on, lets me just blitz through and go, oh yeah, these are all the things that I need to do. And then as I go off to run errands, I take 5 parcels with me instead of 3 parcels and forget the 2 things and a birthday card are sitting at home, which has, yeah, definitely.
It may or may not have happened from time to time.
It's definitely happened. It's not been the end of the world. Nothing seriously has gone wrong with this. But, you know, as my system has evolved, it's become quite clear to me in some cases where I've been overloading myself with the granularity of, you know, breaking down like what are all of the possible next actions I could be taking on this and putting them in. It's like, well, yes, if there's something in particular I can think of and I, you know, it sits in my brain, it's coming back, absolutely needs to go in the task management system. But I do not need to break everything down into get out notebook, get out pen, write packing list. Yeah. Don't forget to write underwear on the packing list and things like that, because, you know, I'm going to remember to pack underwear. And if I don't, let's be honest, there are shops where I'm going. So, you know, it's one of those things. I've built it up over time of going, no, I don't need that kind of task, but I do need this kind of task. Like when it comes to packing, for example, I'm going to Brussels tomorrow. So I have a whole bunch of things in my OmniFocus, including a couple of tasks for packing. It's like pack electronics, pack clothing, pack snacks for the train journey and things like that. But actual individual like clothing to pack, that isn't in OmniFocus anymore, because otherwise I look at the forecast badge in OmniFocus and I'm like, I'm not getting out of bed today, thank you very much, because there's 200 things there, right?
It's a disappointing red number. It is.
Yeah. And it's not that there are 200. I mean, there are technically 200 things I need to do. But realistically, when it comes to packing certain things like my tech kit, like I've got all the items written down that I need to pack, but my tech kit still packed from the last weekend when I did another trip. So I just need to open it, check that the things are in there, close it and stick it back. It's not checking off 20, 30 things. So yeah, I found, yeah, increasing granularity in some areas and massively decreasing it or sharing it out into another application like Omni Outline or Drafts for other areas has been really helpful.
Talk to me about this, because I feel like, and tell me if this is true or not, but it sounds like the granularity is increased when you're thinking about horizontal focus, when you're thinking about how many things can I batch into something in order to do it more effectively, and mm-hmm. maybe decreased or I would say even matured in the level of vertical focus when it comes to, you know, I've done this 40 times, I can chunk my thinking down, I know what it is. And I always give parents a pass, you know, we've got 3 kids, and you know, when we were first starting with kid number 3, it was like, okay, I really do need to write down brushing their teeth, because if I don't, it won't happen. And I don't mm-hmm. want to be responsible for tooth decay. So mm-hmm. let's put it in there and make sure that it gets done. And now, you know, a year in, 2 years in, 3 years in, it's like, okay, I'm getting the idea that this thinking has chunked up into a level where there's enough muscle memory. I don't have to write it down. I can think of it on my own. The environment prompts me to do it. Have you noticed that sort of a shift for yourself?
Yes, definitely. And in particular, actually, this was something that sort of came about a bit more with OmniFocus 4, the action groups. Being able to have your action groups and toggle them open and closed in Outliner or in the outline view of OmniFocus has been really helpful for me. So one big stepping stone towards removing a chunk of the tasks, which I am going to note, there's not entirely gone. A lot of these, if there are like a series of things that need to be done, they still live in the notes of the task, just in case I'm having one of those completely brain dead days where I'm like, I don't remember what is my name, who am I, where am I, you know. So I've still got a reference system for these, but I started by just chunking them into action groups, and in particular that you know, complete with last action checkbox, really handy, because then, you know, you check things off and the little action group or the project just disappears and you're like, done, win. Loving it. So yeah, collapsing those action groups to start with. So, you know, again, it got a little more granular by batching things into an action group and adding that extra parent task. But then as I realized that, no, I can check this off without opening this, I can do that consistently. That's like, okay, well, I'm just going to copy those out. And I just copy them as task paper and stuck them in a note, because that way, if I want to stick them back, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, you know, it doesn't take me any time. It just copy and paste because that works so well. But yeah, it just means that, you know, now I have a little less with that because I've built it up over time. And actually, OmniFocus has been really helpful for allowing me to do that with those action groups.
I noticed this, you know, you were talking about the shift as it's happening from the horizontal vertical thinking and how to kind of encapsulate what levels of thinking do I need to be at where I can just check off the box and have it represent four or five different things, have it be in the notes when I'm in a brain dead day. Is there anything else that is outside of that you're currently excited about or experimenting with that is a shift or a change in your workflow? Maybe you don't want to always put it in there, but it's something that you're testing out or an idea that you're looking at and you're like, okay, this might make its way into my workflow a little bit more regularly.
Yeah, so I've actually been really experimenting a lot with Omni Outliner for future project planning because, of course, Omni Outliner has that great functionality where I can turn something into an OmniFocus project. So for projects in particular where it's like they're not on my roster just yet, like I want to think about them, but I know I've got 7,026 projects. Okay, that's a random made up number, but I have a lot of projects that are active in my OmniFocus that I know that I am doing or I should be focusing on. And especially I do a lot of home automation things. I really love it. And I've been experimenting with it. There's a whole bunch of future ideas. I have a 3D printer. I've got a whole bunch of future project ideas. I love writing those down and putting them into projects. But the reality is I have 28,000 other things that I should be doing first. So I'm not losing them, but I'm putting them into Omni Outliner projects or documents so that I can keep them. I can get nerdy. I can get granular with them, but they're not yet in my task management system. It's kind of like a holding like area for them in some ways, but it also means that when I'm ready to go, it's like copy paste done, or, you know, export and import. And that has been working really nicely because it does mean that when I'm there going, oh no, actually this project makes much more sense to come first, I can be like, pull that in, and I can even pull things out from OmniFocus and into Omni Outliner if I've got a little bit too overeager with doing some project planning, because that's what happens in my reviews. I'm there going, okay, Pastor Rose, I get that you are aspirational, but there's aspirational and then there's over planning and over committing yourself. You need to, you know, cut this back. And as much as, you know, it's an action and I could do it, okay, that's great, but I probably shouldn't be doing that right now. So pulling things out and sticking them into Omni Outliner has been a really big thing. What I want to try next is doing a bit more big block planning with Omni Plan, because I feel like that could be a lot of fun and really useful to see, like, yeah. So I've kind of planned to have like seven different projects happening at the same time and getting them all done in those 3 weeks. Like maybe I need to undercommit myself a little bit more there and change some priorities and see what I can do. So that's going to be next on my experiment list.
Yeah, and a little bit of grace for Pass Rose as well, because it's like you want to let her kind of run free in order just to see, like, okay, what are the possibilities here? You know, and because you might not end up with the very best idea unless you let all of that happen. Mm-hmm. And then it's, yeah, playing manager, putting on the manager hat and saying, you know what, I don't know about all that. That's a little bit ambitious for where I want to be in terms of my comfortability. I'd love to hear what you would think is a common obstacle that shows up for people when they're first dipping their toes into automation. They love the idea. They see somebody like Sal Segoin or David Sparks or yourself, like, you know, showing you, like, here's an automation. This has made things go so much faster. But when they look at shortcuts or they look at Apple Script, maybe they're just feeling a little bit intimidated. They're not sure what to do next. What would you say for somebody that is, hey, this is a great first step? If you're looking at this, you don't consider yourself to be a superpower user, but you are interested in trying to take advantage of that. What are some good first steps for them?
I mean, one of the obvious things that I would suggest, I say obvious, it's not obvious to everyone, is on the Omni Automation site, there is an entire library of scripts that you can download and you can just run those and you don't need to know how to write the script. You don't even know how to read the script. You just need to install it and then you can use those. And that is just a really great place to start because there's so much work that's already been done out there for everybody. And I feel like that is, you know, just something that's really beneficial to give a play with. And then when it comes to maybe graduating from there, or maybe you can't find something that really does what you want, and it doesn't matter how you're planning on going about this, you could be using it, you could be doing AppleScript, you could be doing Omni Automation, you could be doing shortcuts. Find the smallest place where you can start and, like, just build that bit and then do the rest of it manually from there for the time being. Like, just do like a teeny tiny bit, like find these five tasks and then add a tag or something like that. You know, you don't have to add a tag, add a due date and all of these other things and then you know, whatever it is, just want to find the tasks and add the tag, or maybe even share the tasks from OmniFocus to the shortcut to start with, you know, keep it really small and then build from there. And don't be afraid to, you know, duplicate an automation that you've created that's already working and then, you know, edit the duplicate and add to it, because then if you mess everything up, you can go back to the previous one as well. So yeah, definitely experiment, but start small and steal other people's work, because they're sharing it so that you can steal it. So do that.
That's fantastic advice. And I think it's really accessible for folks to be able to say, you know what, approach this with a sense of play as well. You know, that would be my take for it. The same anxiety that you feel about project management, where it's like, this thing is too big of a chunk. We've talked about chunking and breaking it down into those actionable steps. That same feeling of, you know what, we're just having fun with this can show up in shortcuts and automation as well, I would say. Talk to me a little bit about anything in the space of AI. I know it's kind of like this huge overarching, and it means so many things to so many different people and a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But does Apple Intelligence or any of the AI agents, you know, even this week, as of the recording of this episode, a new DeepSeek has come out. There's ChatGPT, mm-hmm. there's Claude, there's so many things that are out there. Is there anything like that showing up in your workflow or making its way in order to kind of help move things along? Or is it kind of like, you know what, we're just going to wait and see where this heads first before I even take a look at it?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of things, like I found that it's AI in general is really bad at giving me answers to things. Like, it's, if I say, like, how do I do this? Then it produces something, like maybe it's code or whatever, and I'm there going, okay, but this shortcuts action doesn't exist. This shortcuts action has never existed. Because it's based on a language model, right? And shortcuts names in particular are language based. So it just kind of infers this and that exists, therefore it creates this other brand new one which doesn't exist. And you go looking for it and it's like, okay, that's not helpful. But where it has been really useful, in particular, actually, I really like the summaries that Apple Intelligence pops up for notifications, where I've got like 5 notifications from OmniFocus because I add notifications to certain tasks that I want to be reminded about at certain times. It pops up and it's like, hey, OmniFocus is reminding you about this, 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 and this. And I'm like, aha. Cool. Yeah, I need to do those things. Thanks. And it's one notification. It feels less overwhelming. And also generating lists of things. Like, I'm not at the point where I will trust any AI to generate a list and put it straight into OmniFocus for me. That's not happening. Yes. Thank you very much. but I will absolutely ask it to generate a list and use that as my inspiration or my basis and go through and edit that and reformat that and turn that into a task list or a packing list or whatever. And I found a little tool the other day, which I think is really nice, it's called goblin.tools. That's the URL. And it's got this thing called magic to do. So you pop something in, and I added an item earlier because, you know, I was experimenting with it, where I just said pack for Brussels, and I clicked the little magic wand after I'd added it, and it was like, okay, review your travel itinerary and dates, make a list of clothing, gather your toiletries and things like that. And it goes into, you know, enough high level detail that it's like a really good starting point. And then, okay, you know, there are some other things where I'm there going, yeah, okay, you've missed adding pack passport, because that is always a separate item on my list.
Crucial.
I do not want to get to Customs and Border Patrol and be like, yes, so I kind of forgot that bit, but I've got my suitcase, I've got my underwear, can I go anyway? Because they're not going to say yes to that.
Sorry, sir, my AI did not advise me to do this. I apologize.
Yes. Exactly. So, but yeah, no. So, you know, I always find that they're quite useful for inspiration for these things as well. And also, you know, sometimes they can be useful for finding alternative resources for things. Or if I've got something, I like to give projects fun names, you know, so if I'm going to be doing something for a long period of time, like I've been going through a bit of a decluttering phase and so on, I was there thinking, you know, earlier today, I actually really want like a fun project name for this, but I don't have a fun project name for it yet. And I was like, actually, that's something where I could ask ChatGPT or any kind of AI to create, you know, give me some fun project names and, you know, reword and rework them from there so that then I can create some little icons and stick it on my home screen, because I've been playing a lot with focus modes and home screens that are taking me into the right areas of OmniFocus. And so that, you know, I think asking you to generate some icons and things for a project is definitely something that I need to do a little more playing with there.
Yeah, well, you mentioned focus modes. I apologize to the listeners who feel like this is kind of a rambling all over the place conversation. I find it fascinating, though, when you said focus modes and being able to really be able to tunnel into the right spot on mm-hmm. your iOS or anything. And forgive me, because this wasn't even on any of the outlines or lists of questions or anything along those lines. But what's your take on contextual computing? I mentioned, I've heard David Sparks mention it. I'm just kind of in like on the outside peering in to people that are looking at this as a methodology or a way of computing, of being able to tunnel into the right thing that you need to tunnel into in order to maintain your focus and not see, like, you know, 47 other browser tabs open that rabbit hole you. What are your thoughts on that? Is it worth the investment to be able to sit there and kind of link up all the connections? How do you see it playing out right now? And are you engaged with kind of that way of computing currently?
Yeah, so one of the things I do in particular on macOS is I use a great application by Brett Terpstra called Bunch, which means that if I say, hey, I'm going to sit down and record a podcast, I go into it and I click. And if I'm recording a specific podcast, then sometimes I have those saved. Other than that, I have a general guest podcast. And what that does, it kind of clears the decks. It doesn't get rid of things. It just hides the things that I don't need and brings the things to the foreground that I do want and need, so that those are there. And focus modes on iOS are kind of an extension of that for me, where I have custom home screens and things like that, so that if I unlock my phone in podcasting focus mode, I don't see all of my usual things like my mail app and my usual widgets and so on. I see things that are relevant to podcasting specifically, which is generally, it's mostly a blank screen in the tips widget, if I'm going to be honest, because I often share my iPhone home screen while I'm podcasting, in particular on iOS today in the video version. So I don't want like all of those things showing up for everybody else, but also I don't want them showing up and distracting me. And this is something I found with focus modes on iOS in particular, like having the change of wallpaper, having the change of lock screen widgets and home screen widgets and, you know, home screen pages has been really nice. And in particular, tying it into a different Apple Watch face so that I get, you know, like it's kind of a visual cue on my wrist, but also in the right focus mode, I look down at my watch and my watch face is the modular complications face. And one of those, the big one, is OmniFocus. Because guess what? I probably have got a bunch of tasks that I need to be doing. So it's quite nice to glance down my wrist and go, ah, yeah, I was grabbing my battery pack to charge it. Don't take that off and go off and grab the next one. And yeah, so I found contextual computing is really nice. It does take a while to build up, but I'd also say it's not a big bang thing because, as with any of these things, you know, it is a project. You've got to build it over time. You can start by sitting down and spending a couple of hours trying to build up all of these things. But I'd also just say start small, because, you know, you can start with using Bunch or KeyboardMaestro shortcuts or whatever to open a couple of applications. And if you do that, then, you know, that is a starting point. And you could create a couple of different home screens on your phone, or just create one that you use for, you know, deep focus, if you want to call it that. Or, you know, I have my classic work one for my day job, and I'm podcasting one for my podcasting stuff and so on. And, you know, I added those as I need them. I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to spend my entire day today creating focus modes and Bunch scripts and all of that, because even if I did that, it's not going to end up with necessarily as good of a result. I find that you have to spend time building this that is, you know, it's not one big consecutive block, because in that consecutive block, you're not really in the right mindset. Instead, I find it easier to sit down 15 minutes extra early before I'm going to record a podcast and like make a note of the things that I do so that I can then turn that into the automation, or just create the automation for those 15 minutes and see how far I get, and then have, you know, a little note somewhere where I can add to, oh yeah, this was missing, or actually it'd be really nice if all my windows put themselves in the right place, I'm going to try using Moom for that or something, and then adding to things over time, because it is an evolutionary process. It's not just a so I sit down and I've decided everything is going to be like this from now on, and it is, because life isn't perfect and cleanly cut like that. You have to, you know, build things over time. And sometimes, yes, you do need to just go like, no, that's it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm trying to do everything like this. But I think for contextual computing in particular, it is something you need to build over time, and you need to play with it to see what works for you. You know, does using the focus filters built into iOS and macOS work well with OmniFocus for you? Or are you better off opening particular perspectives via, say, a URL or the new shortcut sections that were recently added and things like that? So yeah, you just kind of have to play and experiment and see what works and what doesn't. And maybe, you know, you spend half an hour working on this over time and go, yes, doesn't seem to be working for me. It's not particularly helpful. I do the same stuff all the time anyway. So what's the point? That's fine. Like, you know, if that works for you, that's great. I'm jealous, to be honest. But for me, I need the application to come in and be like, and I'm clearing the decks. I'm opening these three windows for you. And that is all you're going to see for the next hour. So.
Yes, I so appreciate this. This episode's multifaceted, and I love the theming of iteration that keeps coming up over here. Mm-hmm. This idea that it doesn't have to be one huge event where you get the system set up, or you get the thing set up, or you get the idea set up, and you spend 4 hours and you say, from now on, this is the way it's going to be. I do think there are triggering events. You know, David Allen mm-hmm. always uses Absolutely. The example about, you know what, you run into the fridge and you haven't cleaned it out in the last 4 months, and you see something and it smells like you don't know what it is, and it just disgusts you to the point where you're saying, I'm going to get control of this fridge now. And doing that behavior is a great thing. It's a great triggering event. But over time, if you don't build in the behavior of throwing away something that's a week old in the refrigerator, then you're going to end up there again to begin with. And so
exactly.
let this episode be your triggering event. That's great. Please do. You know, that's, we want that for you. You know, mm-hmm. so if you're listening to anything that Rosemary or myself are saying and nodding your head saying, yeah, that sounds like something I want to try out, try it out. I mean, by all mm-hmm. means, give yourself the permission to open it up and either, you know, use something that clears the decks, use something that helps you focus more, group your tasks in a new way. I think that's what this is all about, is experimenting in that way.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. When it comes to things like tasks and so on as well, I've found I have an experimental tag in OmniFocus. It's actually called experimental, and there are new tags under that where basically what I'm doing is I'm adding them and I'm going, well, I don't know if this is a good part of my system yet. So I literally nest it under a tag called experimental. And then I look at it and I add things to it. And then I look at it again in a month or so and go like, there's one task in here and that doesn't seem like it's worth having a tag for. And so I get rid of the tag. Or like, there's a lot going on in here. There's a bunch of stuff checked off and a bunch of new stuff that's going to go live in the real system, you know, and it's just kind of a staging area. So yeah, experiment and play with these.
What is it that's inspiring you these days? It doesn't have to necessarily be a productivity thing that's inspiring you, but you come across a quote, a talk, an idea, just something that crosses your path where, you know, like I don't know necessarily what to do with that yet, but there's something there and maybe I need to chew on that and process it a bit more, but it's there. And I have to figure out really what that means to me. Is there anything that kind of fits that category for you where you're like, this is inspiring to me?
I mean, I am a devoted listener of the Cortex podcast on Relay FM, which is hosted by Mike Hurley and CGP Grey. At every single episode that I listen to all that, like, I find that I have to, like, pause it because I get to a certain point and my brain just goes off on a tangent based on, like, a little throwaway comment that they've made. And, like, I don't know what it is about those two. There's some kind of magic in there. I'm hoping they're using it for good rather than evil because they have so much power there. But every single time, I just have to, like, pause it and I'll go away and I'll dump a whole bunch of stuff. I've learned, however, dump this stuff into Omni Outliner and then process it later instead of dumping it into my OmniFocus inbox, because otherwise there's a lot to process in my inbox and it's probably not all going to be actionable tasks in the immediate future. But yeah, like, so, you know, that is definitely one of those, you know, that constantly inspires me and just makes me think. And the other thing is I have found, you know, social media is actually quite nice. You know, I've not given up reading productivity books at all. You know, I've been re-listening to, I find audiobooks are easier to get through for me than, you know, actual books that I need to read, be that ebooks or physical books. But I found social media and TikTok videos as well, because they're so short. It's one idea. And I go, oh, that's interesting. That resonates with me. I'm going to go and experiment with that. And I go and experiment with that and give it a few days and see how it's going and go like, ah, yes, this works for me. I like this. Or, okay, that was an idea and I experimented with it and I didn't like it. Okay, moving on. But it's because it's one idea at a time, it's a lot easier to be like, okay, I'm going to take this one idea and fit it into my system instead of taking a book, which is basically, here is a new system. Now go use it. And that's right. A lot more daunting. It's a bigger challenge. It requires a massive mental shift, a lot of energy as well. And sometimes that can be physical energy as well as mental energy, because the number of times I've reorganized my office in the last 6 months on a whim based on something somebody said, ugh, too much work. But there are no dust bunnies. So win. But yeah, it's one of those things where I found, yeah, just like finding something that inspires you is a challenge, but the Cortex podcast is definitely one of those for me.
Rosemary, how can people stay connected with you and what you're up to? If anywhere from, hey, I want to see, you know, what where she's appearing on podcast, up to, you know what, this automation thing, I love the idea of it, but I'd rather just have her and her team, you know, put something together for us. Where can people connect with you?
The best place is rosemaryorchard.com. It's got links to apps, books, podcasts, all of those things. And yeah, social media is also on there. So yeah, if I know in advance when I'm going to be appearing on a show and can let people know if they can live stream it or once it appears, I will always share that on social media as well. So yeah, plenty of places to find me.
Rosemary, thank you. So this has been an awesome conversation. I'm so grateful for it. Good luck in Brussels. I'm grateful to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today too. You can find us on Mastodon at The Omni Show at omnigroup.com. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.